Hello, this is the first taxation podcast of 2011. I'm Daniel Selwood. This is Mike Truman.
Hello there.
And we're talking about issue 4287. Look out for it from the 12th of January. This week, Mike, in our first article for discussion, why does Andrew Shaw claim that all the world's a stage?
Yeah, all the world's a stage because it's actors. What we're talking about here, particularly with regard to employee benefit trusts and EFIRBs, is whether your trustees are really making decisions or whether they are, shall we say, following instructions. In the words of the particular case that he looks at, whether they're just actors reading a script.
That would be Grogan or Aberdeen Asset Management.
Yeah, it was Aberdeen Asset Management, I think it was, where that was said.
And the trustee's lack of true independence.
That's the issue. And what he's really saying is that although we've got some new legislation for the future on EBTs and EFIRBs, everyone was very happy that they weren't retrospective. Unfortunately, as Andrew says, if you look at the two cases you've just mentioned, potentially the revenue have got quite a strong argument against existing EBTs and EFIRBs in certain situations. Again, as I say, where although in theory it's for all employees or for a large number of employees, in practice you know that there's only one person who is ever going to benefit from it.
Okay, weighty stuff, and I think that is indicative of the rest of the issue. We've got some pretty technical material.
I mean, worth pointing out though with that Shaw one that although it's technical stuff, it is, you know, EFIRBs and EBTs have been sort of breeding like flies recently, so there will be a lot of people who've got them.
Also chunky, figuratively speaking, is Mike Evans's article on the new CIS penalty structure.
Yes, I wouldn't want to comment on Mike Evans himself.
No, I wasn't.
Certainly not from my point of view. Yeah, penalty structure. Yes, although again, very common issue for construction industry scheme. He's looking at both the problems with the existing penalties for contractors, and the biggest one, as most people will know, is that all of a sudden these penalties have been starting to build up and have been charged, whereas in the past the revenue were a bit lax about chasing up penalties. Good news, as he says, is that the penalty structure is being revised and won't build up such large penalties. The even better news is that you can apply for the what will be the new structure to be applied retrospectively, and that's going to be very helpful for quite a few clients.
The meaning that you can apply from now, can't you?
Yeah, for the that's right. You can apply from now the new rules if you want to. If it's
you won't necessarily get them, though, will you?
Yeah. You should get them. I think
the wording from the revenue was we will consider.
Yeah, I think in practice they probably are going to. I mean, it's most likely to be. Obviously, there will be situations where the new penalties are actually more expensive, but it looks like you ought to be able to get them.
But of course, you would be able to reject it if it was more expensive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Michael Ripley next, and he's casting doubt on the ECJ's decision-making process.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is in the context of the Den Plan case, where
is that better known as AXA?
AXA, yes. I mean, it's strictly AXA, but it's about Den Plan, which a lot of people will be familiar with, that you pay a monthly payment to your dentist or for your dental care, and AXA would have dealt with it, essentially. The point is that there's meant to be a VAT exemption for payment services, but there is an exclusion from that exemption. In other words, there is a charge for debt collection. And in this case, what looked like a payment service has ended up, so far as the ECJ is concerned, and they're the final arbiter, being a payment collection service. Being a debt collection service, with the result that the payment exclusion seems to apply to less and less. And his comment is that the ECJ is meant to just sort of set the principles, whereas in this case they seem to have gone rather further and more or less decided the case.
Well, we'll leave that one there because we've got to crack along. And finally, we have Chris Chadburn, who's having a look at the National Audit Office's report from last month on the revenues management of civil tax investigations, which was largely positive, but had some quite strong criticisms as well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think they overall they think it's a decent job, but they, as you say, they've highlighted some issues where there are problems, particularly some management gaps. I mean, like gaps in management information, which does seem rather surprising.
And not achieving time targets to complete investigations.
Yeah, I mean, hey, what's new? If the revenue are set time targets at the moment, they're just not meeting them. So that comes down, as much as anything, it seems to me, to staff, which is something that we've talked about endlessly in taxation. If you keep cutting staff, you're going to find that you don't meet targets. The one which was also slightly interesting was the level of penalties that are being set in some offices, where you would expect, you know, in serious fraud cases, you're not generally supposed to go down below 25%, and yet you've got average penalties sometimes running at something like 21%. I think all that suggests possibly that you can set new procedures and you can set new limits, but because investigations tend to be very much a people operation and a negotiation operation, it's actually very difficult to change culture. And 21% is the sort of penalty that I think most people would have said you used to get. And it looks as if all the words and all the changes to legislation haven't really changed very much on the ground.
As Chris mentions at the beginning of his article, the report, which was published just before Christmas, received very little attention in the national press, so this is a pretty important article for anybody who wants to
I think it is worth looking at. I think it is worth looking at and understanding exactly what's going on. And apart from anything else, just knowing where investigations are likely to come from. He's talking, for example, about the fact that they're looking at 50,000 small businesses' records and bookkeeping or record-keeping processes in the near future. Just looking at the way the revenue are now approaching investigations is going to help you a lot in deciding where the risk points are for your clients.
All right, then, that's it for the paper version. Online only, don't forget my column, which this week is a beginner's guide to working in the cloud. And if you don't know what that means, then it's more important that you actually read the article. Right, well, that's it for another week, and we hope you'll be back next week. Yep. Cheers.
See you then.